The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen.
Amen.
Last Friday on NPR, it was reported that North Korea will release U.S. citizen Eddie Jun, who was arrested 6 months ago on a charge of attempting to spread Christianity. You may know that no organized religion is allowed in North Korea. And you may reflect for a moment at sometime during the week on what you might ever do that would cause you to be arrested for spreading Christianity. What a contrast to Athens in the first century AD. When Paul visits Athens for the first time, he's been run out of several Greek cities where he's been stirring up the Jewish community by preaching the good news of the resurrection. The verses immediately before the passage that we just heard tell us that Paul was deeply distressed to find shrines to pagan gods on every street corner. The Athenians were deeply curious and highly superstitious. They wanted to cover all their bases, so they erected shrines to every idol anyone ever mentioned. And then they put up a few more to the unknown god, just in case there was some easily offended deity out there that they hadn't covered, they might have overlooked. You might say that the Athenians were spiritual but not religious. They took a consumer approach to spirituality, dipping into every dish in the buffet, but not making a commitment to any one flavor. Might start to sound familiar to us. Now, Paul was a consummate evangelist, a super salesman of the Christian faith. He saw the unknown God shrines, and he seized the opportunity to put his God, our God, in that niche. "You may not know this God," he says, "but I do." In the words of our psalm, he said, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, any God, and I will tell you what God, my God, has done for me." Now, Paul had been arrested and beaten, had been abused in many cities. He was ready for anything in Athens. And as he addressed the Areopagus, which you might call the Supreme Court of Athens, he found that he didn't risk being arrested for spreading the faith, but he did risk being ridiculed, being disregarded, being marginalized by the powerful men who might well say, "Oh, well, what's another deity? Go ahead and put up a shrine. We'll just add this Hebrew god to our collection. What's next that we can talk about?" And just move on. Paul tells the Athenians that his God, however, is very different from all of those other gods. Those other gods are part of the creation, whereas his God is the creator and stands outside of the creation completely. This is a whole new concept of God for the Athenians. Paul, as a skillful evangelist, adapts his message to his listeners. He doesn't speak of Jesus as the Son of God, because that would bring up thoughts of the emperor. He doesn't blame the Athenians for not having already embraced the one God, because that would alienate his listeners. He invites, he entices, he cajoles, and he adds the tempting little tidbit of resurrection, the one who has been raised from the dead. Well, it turns out that this was just a bit too much for some of those sophisticated men, as we might find that it's a bit too much for some of our own friends and neighbors. But it hit the spot with a few. And a few was all it took for Paul to plant a community of Christians in the intellectual capital of the world. It wasn't perhaps the thousands that Peter was baptizing every day back in Jerusalem, but it was a start. It was a foothold for Christianity in Athens. Athens was a very tough market for Paul, as tough perhaps as Pyongyang is today for modern evangelists, but for totally different reasons. Whereas North Korea is intolerant of religion, ancient Athens was omnitolerant. Everything was permitted and nothing mattered. People loved to talk about God, but they weren't inclined to love God. This is a disease that can all too easily afflict people with education, material prosperity, and cultural influence. People, in fact, like us. We love to learn about religion. We read books about the Dead Sea Scrolls or the making of the King James Bible. We watch documentaries about Israel or Constantinople or the fall of the church's influence. We attend classes comparing Christianity to Buddhism or Islam or other religions. All of this is good. It's good inquiry. But it doesn't necessarily bring our hearts closer to the one in whom we live and move and have our being. For that, we need to practice what Jesus says in John's Gospel. We need to practice love. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And you remember what those commandments are. Jesus said the great commandments are this: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. How shall we practice that kind of love? Well, by caring for ourselves and for others in the name of Christ, in thanksgiving for Christ, and for the sake of Christ. As we learn to love God and to depend on God, to trust God, we will receive the Holy Spirit, who can't be discerned by all of our intellectual activity, but only by our consenting to rest in the heart of God. As we come to know Christ through our service to others and through our intentional acts of love, our hearts become open to the Spirit, and we will come to know and trust that Christ abides in us and we in him. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned. An orphan lacks a profound level of emotional security. Children should be able to depend utterly on their parents' love. They should be able to take it for granted. When a child is orphaned, that security is stripped brutally away, and there is no longer anyone to take for granted. But we who abide in Christ can count on that security. God abides in us, and we can rest in that certainty. And that certainty gives us freedom, gives us the freedom to live fully, to love fully, and ultimately to be able to share that love with others. And then with the psalmist, we can proclaim our trust and gratitude. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. God has heard me. God has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld his love from me. Thanks be to God. Amen.